Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, do you know that we offer virtual lessons? You can sign up at any time through info@dogspeak101.com. Also, don't miss out on our dog communication seminar on demand or one of our live seminars in Middle Tennessee. We would love to assist you with any and all problems that you have, so give us a call, set up your session today. Hey, Dog Speak Geeks. I hope your week is going amazingly well, and I hope you had a really wonderful Halloween. I don't know about you, but I do not like when time goes backwards. I don't have a lot of light starting around 4:30, and I hate it. And if you're struggling with that, you might be struggling with ensuring your dog gets what they need on a daily basis. This is where I'm going to recommend that you really up your enrichment game, get a little more creative, do a little research. If you've been using a snuffle mat, your dog's probably getting bored. So find other ways to get your dog to sniff out food. Maybe that's a cardboard box with recyclables thrown in and the food thrown in. Just look around your house and see what you can use to help your dog. I know that it gets a little crazy when it gets so dark so early. And if you're local, though, to Middle Tennessee, we do offer our new Unleashed and Enriched program where we will come during the day and give your dog enrichment or take them on an adventure. That could be an adventure in their neighborhood, or it could be a bigger adventure like going hiking, going to the dog park or urban dog bar if you're local, and hanging out, right? Maybe go to a sniff spot off leash somewhere. Maybe they just want to take a stroll around the pet store. We want to ensure that these dogs are getting what they need and meet those genetic needs. So if you're local, reach out to us. And if you're not local, I would look around in your area and maybe start to budget someone to come in and just give your dog a little bit of a sniffy walk in the middle of the day a couple of times a week. If you have a daycare that is a good daycare, meaning the staff is trained and understand communication skills and interaction, then use that to your advantage maybe once a week. If you are like a lot of working parents and owners, you may want to try to make up for it on the weekends, but just be very careful that you don't wear your dog out on the weekend, creating negative associations because your dog is too tired to handle whatever environment you may be putting them in. So just think about quality over quantity. If you get home in the evenings and you have 10 minutes of daylight left, take your dog out for 10 minutes in the front yard and let them just sniff the front yard, sniff around the mailbox, just to see what's happening in the neighbors. These are little things that we can do to try to meet those needs the best way possible. So don't stress yourself out too much, but just know that your dog is still going to need a little bit of enrichment and some time to just do something fun that is fulfilling. So if you're going out and you're playing fetch and thinking that's going to do it, but your dog doesn't even like fetch, well, we need to probably rethink what we are doing with our dog. I don't really have any announcements. I will say if you've not signed up for the newsletter, please go and do that through the website. You do not want to miss the great information that we put out weekly. Your information is safe with us. You guys use the heck. I know, are you surprised I didn't use a cuss word? You use the coupon for the communication webinar. You used a lot of them, and I appreciate that. And I'm so glad that you were able to get that 85% off. We will be putting out a new coupon for a different course starting this week's newsletter, which goes out on Wednesday, which is tomorrow. So if you want that coupon code before everybody else, because remember, I'm only putting out so many coupon codes. I will mention it on next week's podcast, but if you want it before then, you're going to want to sign up for the newsletter and don't miss out. And if you did not use the coupon for the communication webinar, you still need the communication webinar. Now you're going to be out $85, But it's worth every penny, guys. You'll have a year to watch it. Watch it with your family. Watch it with your friends. Watch it over and over and over again. I almost just made a song right there. But it's really important because that's what you want to watch on your time off during this holiday season. I know you're going to have some free time. So instead of binge watching that trashy show that you just consider your guilty pleasure, we all have them. Please spend a couple of hours and learn how your dog communicates so that you can really have that relationship. Relationship is everything. Without relationship, it doesn't matter what you teach your dog. They're not necessarily going to feel obligated to respond to you if there's no relationship. The only time that is going to happen when you get a response from a dog, when a request is given by someone that doesn't have a relationship, typically you're going to get a response because the dog is afraid of the punishment that they might receive. If you want dogs to be responsive to you, be nice, be kind, and build a relationship. And don't create fear in your dog just to get response. There's my little announcement for the day. Which, if you've listened to this podcast long enough, you know that we don't recommend aversive techniques. We don't recommend e-collars, shock collars, prong collars, slip leads. We don't believe in causing harm, pain, or fear in dogs just to teach manners. Why? Because we can do it without it. So that's going to lead me right into this week's episode. It's about breaking down the top five myths that are in dog training today. Now, there's a lot more that are floating around, but I'm just going to take the top five that ChatGPT gave me because I'm curious to know what people are still thinking. And going through these, I was really surprised that some of the myths that are still out there and floating are so old and so debunked that I'm really shocked. And maybe ChatGPT, I don't have the big version. I have the general version. Maybe they were wrong. I don't know. You can tell me. But we are going to break these down. This will be a fairly short episode because I know that my listeners are pretty smart. And I'm probably not going to be telling you much, anything that you don't already know if you've been listening for a while. So let's start with the first one. And that is dogs respond best to dominance or alpha techniques. The myth is you must assert yourself as the pack leader to control your dog. And I'm going to tell you that's just false. That is so false. Modern research shows that dogs learn best through positive reinforcement and trust, right? That relationship, not through fear and intimidation. And it has been proven that force-based methods, which are any of your aversive methods using positive punishment, which is we are adding something as punishment to decrease a behavior. So your positive punishment is going to be adding in the shock to stop your dog from barking. We don't have to do that. Those methods will increase your dog's stress and aggression, especially if your dog was bred to bark. Now we're saying, I'm sorry that you were genetically bred to bark, but I don't like it. And that's just an asshole move, right? We have to be respectful of what our dog's genetics are. And if you can't meet your dog's genetics, genetic needs, and your dog's genetic needs are inconvenient for you, then that is not the right dog for you. And it's not fair that that dog is in that environment. So you need to learn how to meet your dog's needs. So if we have a dog that barks, so our guardian breeds that bark at strangers coming on or near the property, and we live in a cul-de-sac, well, I mean, you kind of set your dogs up for failure. So what am I going to do? I'm going to find a way to meet my dog's needs of guarding when it's convenient. So I'm going to teach my dog how to be at work and how to be off work. At work and off work. And that might look like walking the dog through the yard and saying, let's go patrol. And walking the dog through the yard at certain times of the day. And during that patrol time, any barking is allowed. And then other times when we're off duty, we have a good interrupter. We interrupt, we give the dog other things to do to satisfy the needs that the dog has. When we're talking about dominance or alpha, right? So many people think that to be a leader, you have to be dominant. And that is also very false. Being a leader isn't about being dominant. Being a leader is just about having the skills necessary to direct and guide those around you. The key here is they guide and direct you using their confidence and clear communication and relationship skills, not through fear and intimidation. Real leaders shouldn't have to use fear and intimidation to get a response from those that they are leading. So if you are a leader in your job, think about, how do your employees look at you? Do they fear you? Are they afraid to come to you? Are you a clear communicator? Do you communicate when they're doing something wrong and then give them the skills to not make that mistake again? Do you intimidate them, make them feel small, sort of make yourself feel bigger? Do you delegate? Do you micromanage? Or do you trust in the skills that you've taught and you help them be successful? It's about being a leader, not about being alpha or being dominant. Being a leader, working as a team, being that upper management. Number two, punishment is necessary to stop unwanted behavior. The myth of you need to scold or physically correct your dog to teach lessons is absolutely false. False, false, false. People go to scold or use physical corrections because they don't know what else to do. And they're using what was used on them growing up or what they saw their parents do. When I see parents spank a dog in front of their child, I know that child is now going to grow up and be more likely to hit a dog in the future. So I want them to learn that that's not appropriate. The truth is dogs learn faster and retain behaviors longer when good behavior is rewarded. Punishment is really good at suppressing behavior, but it will come out somewhere, somehow, and usually without warning. If I'm punishing a dog for growling at a small child, when that small child approaches and I punish the dog, then the dog may stop growling, but I've not fixed that the dog is actually very nervous of the child coming into the space. Therefore, if the behavior continues with the child coming into the space, the dog is too afraid to give the warning, so they're going to have to escalate. And that's where you're going to get a child who gets bitten without warning. And I'm using air quotes there, where people say the dog without warning, just out of the blue, bit the child. And that's bullshit. Nope. Dog was more than likely punished for giving the signals to begin with that they didn't like the child approaching. But because you punished it, the dog stopped doing it to stop being punished. Therefore, they have to find another way to communicate. And oftentimes that's going to come with no real warning, and it's going to be escalated. We can help a dog learn that growling is not necessarily what we need to be doing in that situation. We can teach them how to walk away, go to another spot, come to us when we ask them. But we can also work on teaching the child how to be respectful of a dog's space. We all live in this society together. Dogs, adults, human children, we all share this world. We need to learn how to be more respectful of each other's space, but also in each other's way of communication, and expect that everybody learns how to live together and not just expect the dog to take abuse from humans who refuse to be respectful of their space. The third one is actually a really funny one, and I have heard this one since I started 30 years ago, but older dogs can't learn new behaviors. Myth is that puppies are the only ones who can be trained. This is, again, very false. The larger the dog, the longer it takes for full development. So you're looking at anything from, a year to 2 years on development. If you're looking at a two-year-old dog, then we can say that the dog tops out at about a 3 to 4 year old toddler. Dogs continue to learn and create new neural pathways throughout their life. Dogs of all ages can learn and adapt. It may take a little longer with older dogs, but they can still continue to learn things, practice different skills, and that's going to help the brain stay active and healthy. So mental stimulation as the dog gets older is very important. And I do find that many people spend the first maybe 4 years, 5 years teaching their dogs a lot, but then they just stop because they think, well, the dog's older now, doesn't need, you know, to learn anything else. He may not need to learn any new skills, but I guarantee that your dog is going to want to learn new skills. It's like when we graduate high school or college, we don't stop learning. When we're in our 40s and 50s, we don't stop learning. We're not incapable of learning. People ask me so many times, is my dog too old to be trained when they're like 8? And I'm like, yeah, no. Are you too hard to be trained? Because I'm not worried about the dog. I'm more worried about the human. Are you able to grasp these things? Your dog is not too old to learn new skills. And that could be just dumb skills, easy things. It could be just some problem-solving exercises. But I encourage you to continue teaching your dogs as they age to keep that brain healthy and working. The brain is a muscle. It has to be used or it will atrophy. So make sure that you do continue to do things with your dog. They don't have to be complicated things. It can be simple things. Older dogs, getting them into some maybe sniff work, some nose work. That's a great thing to do. Keeps them physically moving, keeps the nose working, teaches them new skills. And that's really fun for everybody. Number four, you should always let dogs work things out on their own. Myth, ignoring minor issues teaches dogs independence and resilience. So that's a myth. So the truth is that many dogs, when they don't know what to do, because they've not been given the skills, they've not been given the guidance, they'll develop fear, anxiety, and a lot of times unwanted behaviors. If we can create some predictability, give them some basic skills, that can truly help them learn how to work things out. But when I'm having dogs work things out, and I love problem solving, I love letting dogs work things out, but I'm not going to let a dog that doesn't have the capability work on something that I know is too hard. Let me give you a human example because I just think it's the easiest way to explain this. If I have a child, let's say I have an 8-year-old child, and I want to teach them how to put a puzzle together. If I'm going to teach them how to put a puzzle together and be successful, I'm not going to sit them down and give them a 500-piece puzzle. They would never learn how to put a puzzle together if that was their first introduction. Now, I'm not saying that there's not some special kids that at 8 years old, 500 pieces is nothing. But generally speaking, that's a lot. If I want them to be successful, learn how to problem solve and make good choices, I'm going to give them a smaller puzzle. So maybe the puzzle only has 100 pieces or maybe 50 pieces, depending on that child. Therefore, I'm setting them up for more success, which is going to build confidence. Their problem solving skills are going to be better. Same thing with my dog. I'm not going to give my dog too many choices without the ability to make a choice and then punish them for doing wrong. And this is pretty common of what we see across the board. People give a dog too many choices and they get mad at them for doing the wrong one. Oftentimes when I ask people, well, what do you want your dog to do instead? They typically will say, I don't care as long as it's not X, Y, and Z, which is the behavior they're complaining about. But that's not the game you get to play. You don't get to say, I don't care, I just need him to do something else. You need to have an idea and you need to start helping your dog to learn that and to learn to do the skill when the environment cues them to do it. I've taken a very simple example. If I want my dog to sit to greet guests, then I'm going to first teach my dog to sit. And y'all, Willow just walked in here and I said that, and she put her butt right on the floor. I'm going to teach my dog how to sit, and then I'm going to teach them how to sit with that environmental cue. So when someone comes to the door to knock, maybe she goes to a certain spot, she sits, and then I open the door for someone to come in. Now, maybe I don't mind if she sits by the door or if she sits over by her bed. Maybe it's just the sit that I want so that she can make a decision to sit in that situation, and I've given her the skills, but she was still able to make the choice on her own. Same thing when I tell her place, especially with Myers, I'll tell him place and he'll kind of look around and see what's the best place in that moment. Sometimes it's not that far away, sometimes it is. And I don't care, I just want him to know, I need him to go to a place, he can choose which place he wants to go to. All right, number five, and the final one, certain breeds are untrainable. You know, I'm going to add in on this one in just a second. Actually, no, I'm going to put it in right now. Certain breeds are untrainable, or certain breeds need a harder hand. We hear it all the time. I have a Malinois. He needs to have a shock collar, a prong collar, an e-collar. You have to have a harder hand for a Malinois. Now, Malinois are not for everyone. Very rarely are they for anyone that's not doing some type of job that requires a Malinois. But just because that dog is high drive and is off the charts as a pet, doesn't mean you should get a pet and then use aversive techniques because of your lack of skills. A lot of times people will go to punishment and aversive techniques because they have no skills any other way. They don't know how to do anything else. Dogs that are tougher, like the Rottweiler, that's my breed, I've never had to use any type of aversive tool on any of my Rottweilers, and I am on my fourth one. Never, because I understand who they are, and I know how to communicate, and I know how dogs learn. Right? Every dog can learn. Your pace may vary. Sometimes methods vary. Sometimes dogs, I can teach place by just doing very minimal movement with my body. Other times I have to lure a dog to do place. That's okay. Understanding breed traits, very important. Let's take a Border Collie, another example. I love to use the Border Collies. If my Border Collie loves to chase something and I want to teach him to stay, and stay could be challenging, then I'm not going to use a cookie for stay. I'm not going to have him stay and then give him a cookie. I'm going to have them stay, and then the reward of staying is getting to chase their favorite thing, whatever that is. Most of the time, if you have a dog who's not learning something, it's either A, you're not being clear in your expectation, you're not being clear in what behavior it is that you're rewarding, or your reward sucks. You know, every dog is going to see value in different things. You have to figure out what that is. So don't believe that there's a dog that's untrainable. They're all trainable. Limited, yes. Right? I'm not going to teach Myers, who's 20 pounds, to be a, you know, apprehension dog for the police department. That doesn't mean he's not trainable. He's just not trainable for that job. Just like you couldn't train me to be an NFL quarterback. I do not have all of the skills. One, we would have to play with a much smaller ball because I have very tiny hands. Also, I'm not very tall. I wouldn't be able to see over my lineman. But it doesn't make me non-athletic. I'm very athletic. I've been very athletic my whole life. But just because I can't play football for the NFL does not mean that I'm not athletic. Hope that makes some sense for you. So I've got a little bit of something I want you to do for me. One, make a list of what your dog finds rewarding. Get creative. Your dog may find looking out the front window, watching cars go by, as a reward. So you can use that. Your dog may really enjoy a bite of a carrot. Use that carrot. Your dog may really enjoy that cuddling. Use cuddling as a reward. But if you sit here and say, I expect my dog to respond to me with just praise, then you're fooling yourself. Your dog's not untrainable. Your dog just has no desire to work for you. You've got to find what rewards your dog likes. And that can be certain food rewards. And then take your food rewards and put them in order. What is your dog's absolute favorite? Would do anything you ever asked, and then some for that reward. That's the one you want to use to teach some of the more difficult behaviors that you may be having trouble teaching. All right, if you're having trouble teaching your dog to come when called, you better be more rewarding. Do y'all like that howl? That's my girl right there. She's being her guardian self. Willow, that's enough. Good girl. You got a real life example there on using that's enough interrupter. Letting her be the guardian, but then letting her know mama's got it. So if you are struggling teaching something, think about what rewards you're using and don't think so highly of yourself that your praise and your acknowledgement is, and just verbals and your little pets are going to be the be-all that your dog wants. Many dogs are going to need a lot more than that. I hope that this helps you today. I know it was not as deep as I like to go, but I did try. I am going to do an episode on nature versus nurture. I literally recorded it three separate times tonight. I have recorded nature versus nurture, and I didn't like any of it. So I'm going to redo that. Hopefully that will be out next week. That was my plan this week, but you know, it happens. It just happens. It's been a busy day. I hope this helps. If you have any ideas, if you have some things that you would like for me to cover and talk about, then, you know, shoot me an email. Let me know. I would love to get some ideas because sometimes I just get, I get stuck in a little box. And then I have to end up asking, you know, Charles, my little chat guy. That's what I call him. I call him my little assistant, Charles. Hey, you know, give me some episode ideas. So I'd much rather hear episode ideas from you guys. Because sometimes I get just caught in a little bubble, and right now I'm working on a project, and that's all my brain is on, but you guys don't want to hear about that every week right now. So, you know, give me something. Send me something. And if you haven't listened, Kim Brophy and Justine Sherman have a new podcast out called Your Dog's Not Broken and Neither Are You. You can find that anywhere that you listen. You guys have heard me talk about Kim Brophy 100 times on here. Love Kim Brophy and the Legs model. Just does a wonderful job. And they talk about some different things. And it's just really, it's a fun, very simple, quick 28, 30 minutes episode or something. So check that out and let me know how you like it. All right, guys. I hope that you find what works best for your dog when it comes to rewards. I hope that you give them the skills that they need in order to learn how to navigate this crazy world, which we talked about last week. And again, I hope that you are having a great week and you're not going to struggle with this depression, anxiety crap that comes with this darkness that comes so early. Be sure you're taking care of yourselves. Do something good for yourself. Enjoy the sun when it is out and shining. You guys have a wonderful rest of the week.